Gerilyn Meyer is the coordinator of the accelerated option at St. Louis University School of Nursing, the oldest accelerated option program in the U.S. She has held that position since 1994. She teaches fundamentals of nursing, nursing research and leadership, and management to the accelerated option students. She is pleased to be here to discuss one of her favorite topics, the characteristics of second-degree nursing students.
St. Louis University was the first accelerated option program in the country. In 1971, St. Louis University admitted 10 accelerated BSN students into a pilot type of program. And then after that, in 1972-1975, they got a three-year grant from the NIH. The requirements for that first accelerated BSN program: baccalaureate or higher degree. They only accepted students who had graduated within the last 5 years. So they weren't looking for any student who had been out of school longer than 5 years. 3.0 GPA, and then some very minimum probably prerequisites. That first cohort, that 72 to 75 cohort, 84 students. There were 15 in year two, 26 in year three. By 1975, they had put 43 students in the program. About 17% of the students were male. The mean age was 26, again, really much reflecting this 5 years since graduation. Previous degrees, 32% were in social science students, probably because they require 9 hours of social science to get into the program. And then 21% of them had physical science degrees. Only 25% had previous healthcare experience, and the report describes them as highly motivated, close-knit, and achievement-oriented. This is probably, back to the future, this is probably what we could use for our current students now. This is now. In 2000, and this is from the AACN program, or AACN data, there are 205, you probably all know this, but 205 accelerated BSN programs in 2007. And 37 more were in the planning stage. Now, this is talking about exponential growth. I mean, the BSN program, St. Louis University, 1971 was the first. By 1987, there were only 10 programs in the country. 1990, 31 programs. In 2003, so just 5 years ago, 129 programs, and now 5 years later, there's 205 and 37 in the planning stages. There are also 56 accelerated master's programs, and I know that someone who got up to ask a question was representative of one of those, and there are 13 of those in the planning stages. We're talking about approximately 10,000 students right now enrolled in accelerated BSN programs, again, from the AACN program data. And that's about 7% of all entry-level BSN students. So we're talking about 7% of all entry-level BSN students as enrollees, but if you look at for 2007, 14% of all BSN graduates were accelerated option graduates. So again, reflecting probably the quick time from entry to graduation, we have a lot more that come in, and then, as far as the graduation numbers, 14% of them are BSN graduates. So we're like 41,000 BSN graduates last year, according to the AACN data. And master's programs, pretty much similar kinds of numbers. 7% of all master's enrollees are accelerated master's in accelerated master's programs, and about 7% of all graduates are from accelerated master's program. So really what I want to talk to you about today is, who are these people who are in accelerated BSN programs? I'm not going to be speaking so much about the accelerated master's students, and so those of you who are representing accelerated master's programs, it'll be interesting to see if your data on your programs is similar or different to this. I'm really talking about accelerated BSN programs. I really want to talk about some of the personal characteristics that seem to be common among accelerated BSN students, and then also briefly to talk about their plans for a career in nursing. So when you talk about these accelerated BSN students in the 21st century? Well, obviously one of the first things I want to look at is age. In the current class at St. Louis University, our mean age is 27.34 with our standard deviation of 7. But our age range is from 21, these are of our second degree students, to 62. We have a gentleman in our class who actually retired from his position that he'd held for 30 years, took prerequisites for a year, and is doing work at the age of 62 to become a nurse because he wants to do missionary work. That is his. So he's going to be one of those people who doesn't go to hospitals, probably, because he really wants to do missionary work. This is pretty much similar to our class that entered 5 years ago. So we're holding kind of steady. It's pretty much similar to our class from 30 years ago, which was ahead of 26 mean age. Again, consistent with the literature. Now, the mean age at Salisbury, is anybody here from Salisbury University? The mean age at Salisbury, which is in Maryland, a little bit older, 30.6, but Drexel was reporting a 29, Auburn 27. So pretty much consistent with that, what I could find in the literature of that mean age around 27, 28. When you look at things like, when you look at gender, our current class is 7% male. We have 6 male students in our class. This is really low for us, and I'm not sure, it's kind of an aberration for this year. Typically, our average over the 2003-2007 period is that our class has been about 16% male. Ethnicity, our current class is about 84% white, non-Hispanic, 13% African American. We have 6 students in our current class who were born and raised outside of the United States: Korea, Peru, Hungary, Nigeria, Jamaica, and Haiti. And we're seeing more and more of those students come into our programs. I'm not sure about how you are seeing that, but we're seeing more and more students come into the program who are born and raised outside the United States, for whom English is not a first language. That's a huge issue often for us. We have, most of our students really are coming from their previous academic degrees are coming from physical sciences. That is our big, so we're talking chemistry, biology, those fields. Social sciences, we're talking, again, psych, sociology, anthropology. We tend to get students from health-related fields. When we ask them, give us 3 words to describe yourself, 28 of the 69 students in the current class use words like compassionate, caring, helpful, kind. You know, those are the kinds of words that they use to describe themselves. So they're looking for a profession in which they can use those traits, which they see as very common for themselves. In research we had done in the past, these are some of the things that we have seen. Opportunities and flexibility in nursing was a huge reason that students chose a nursing career. Rewarding nature of nursing as a career, dissatisfaction with their previous career field. Some reporting they had always wanted to be a nurse, and some reporting things like their personal experience with healthcare and nursing. So reporting, you know, that they've had a family member who was ill, they were ill themselves, they got to see what nurses really did, and those were the kinds of things they decided to, why they decided to pursue a career in nursing. They're very selective in choosing a nursing program. They consider the school's reputation. They are the students who are going to ask you about what is the school's NCLEX pass rate. They want to know that. Location. Many, many of our students come within a 50-mile radius of our campus. These students tend to be older. They tend to have families. They are not as mobile. Now, we do get students from Alaska. We're in Missouri, but we get students from Alaska, California, Florida, whatever. But location is huge, and then cost is another factor. From my experience, accelerated option students, and this is kind of in the literature too, tend to change their mind about attending school. Accelerated BSN students tend to have a history of academic success. One of those reasons is because most of the programs have minimum GPA requirements, so we only are taking students that are academically successful. We have a 3.0 GPA requirement that we bend occasionally, but we have found that that's pretty much what we need in order for students to be successful. Our current class has a mean GPA of 3.38, undergraduate 5 years ago, 3.28 was our GPA. As we've talked about, these students come from a variety of previous degrees. Sometimes the previous degrees tend to foster sort of black and white learners. What I mean by that is when they come from hard sciences, when they come from computer science, when they come from math, when they come sometimes from engineering, not always, but sometimes from engineering, we see students who want to know the right answer to this thing. They hate those test questions that you say to them, which of these patients would you see first? Or what is the priority for this? These students, because they have this history of academic success, tend to be very, in my experience, very grade conscious, very grade conscious. Part of that is because they have they want future nursing schooling. So they have this idea that I need to get this 3.0 GPA to get into grad school and whatever. Part of that is because they are accustomed to doing well. Accelerated option students, from my experience, they're the ones who you say, oh, you got an 89% on this this paper, and that's a B. But if you wanted to do it over or change blah, 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 you could probably get a 95. They'll do it. They'll change it. You know, I teach traditional students, too, and they'll be like, 89? Okay, that works for me. See you later. You know, I passed it. I'm done. Not so much with the accelerated students. You know, no. You know, if they can get another 6 points, they're going to get another 6 points. And that's what they do. They tend to have very definite plans for their future in nursing. They, when we say to them on enrollment, on the first day, where do you see yourself in 1 year? Only 7 of our current 69 students were unclear about where they wanted to work. The rest of them knew, they thought this is where they wanted to go. 28 of those 69 expressed an interest in ICU or the ER. And a part of that, I think, is the high tech. You know, that's what they see, that's what they like. They, you know, this is the generation that grew up watching ER, so they're thinking that that's exactly where all nurses should be. What we do know, though, is that they do say that they know where they want to work, and what we find out is on graduation, when we ask them, okay, is this where you, you know, do you have a job? Is this job in the area in which you originally planned? 75% of them take jobs in the area in which they originally planned to work. So they have a plan, and they pretty much are sticking to the plan, at least for that first job. Many, many, many of them, 62% on admission, say that they plan to go to graduate school. They are going to go to graduate school. 43 of our 69 want to go to, say that they want to go to graduate school this year. 13 of those 43, so we're talking about, you know, about a third of those 43, guess what they think they want to do in graduate school? CRNAs. They want to become CRNAs. That's where that ICU experience is fitting in. They want to become CRNAs. When you ask them why do they want to become CRNAs? Because you make lots of money. That's exactly right. They don't even, half of them don't even know, I think when you say to them, what do you do as a CRNA? It's like, yeah, I don't, you give anesthesia. They don't even know what that really entails, but you know, they want to know and they want to make money. And what I think is always fascinating on this current class, and it'll be interesting how this current class, when they graduate in May, what they look like, but on graduation, 90% of our students say that they're going to go to graduate school, which I always think is a good thing because this kind of, it kind of goes up, which means that we haven't scared them away from school for the rest of their, you know, lives. They think, okay, maybe I could do more schooling, which I think is a good thing. They're highly motivated. They see themselves, they describe themselves as passionate, focused, determined, dedicated, hardworking. Walker, in her study at the University of Mississippi, talked about self-directed students who need little external motivation. And I think that that's probably true. They have very, very high expectations for the program and the faculty. They have, in the classroom, they have very little tolerance for disorganization. They want handouts that correspond to the lecture and to the, you know, to the outline that you're talking. And if you're going to give them slides, don't throw in an extra one that's not on their handout, because where is it? They need it. Where is it? Why don't you have it there? Tell me what I need to know. They have, Cangelosi reported that they have little patience with learning that they don't think is important to their goal of becoming a nurse. They don't like all that fluffy stuff. Tell me what I need to know. Right there. They love stories from faculty about clinical experiences. They appreciate what faculty who love what they do. Clinical experience stories make the clinical world real to them, and that's what they want. They love case studies from my experience. That's how they like to learn. They also have high expectations for faculty in the clinical area. They demand clinical competence from their faculty. It frustrates them that they don't. If ever I want to know what the tuition is at St. Louis University, I just have to go to an accelerated student and say, ask them, because they will tell me almost on a daily basis, I am paying X dollars for this program and I should have blah, 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 whatever it is that they think they should have. Time is their most precious commodity. I always say about our accelerated students that they have more money than time, and they don't have any money. So they have really no time at all. Any papers, assignments, whatever, that waste time create anger and frustration in them. This is a quote from one of our evaluations. There were a lot of unnecessary assignments that just stressed people out and didn't really produce any knowledge. And if that happens, they're not happy. Group work can be particularly frustrating to them. They don't like group work because they don't have time to have these group meetings. They have things to do. Meaningful clinical time is desired. You almost have to put meaningful in quotes, though, because meaningful is what they determine is meaningful to them becoming a nurse. So in my conclusion, kind of a back to the future, like the 1970s classes, the current students are highly motivated, achievement-oriented. They come from those physical and social science backgrounds, and they typically, at least in my experience and what I've been able to find in the literature, do not have healthcare backgrounds. Unlike the 1970s classes, though, those first classes at St. Louis U, they're trending older. It's been more time since their last degree, and their personal and financial stress is increasing. In 1972, the tuition at St. Louis University for the year, was $2,800. $2,890, almost $2,900. They're probably paying more than that for a month now. So that is very, very different. Accelerated BSN students need a balance of intellectual ability, time management and organizational skills, personal support. This is huge, especially for those who have children. If they do not have a good support system, that's when that house of cards, when the babysitter quits, you know, that's when the house of cards starts tumbling down. And again, they need emotional fortitude. Accelerated BSN faculty need to be able to differentiate the nice to know from the need to know. I always think about Tanner's idea. Do we have a curriculum for the 21st century, or do we have a 21-year curriculum? You know, it's gonna take that long. What are we? Can we cut anything out of here? You know, can we do anything? We have to be willing to kill sacred cows when necessary. However, we also have to keep in mind that students don't always know what they need to know to become nurses. Our very students who are saying too much psych, too much public health, we always bring them back a year later. We do a panel. What's it like to be a new accelerated option graduate for our students who are graduating? They'll come back and they will tell our students, the one thing I use every single day in my clinical work, in the ICU, wherever, is my psych mental health nursing. I use it every single day. They don't know what they need to become nurses. So we can't just get rid of it because they don't want to do it. We have to make sure that it's something that could go. And I think that's huge. And then lastly, accelerated option programs are not for every student, and they're not for every faculty member either. You all know that, I'm sure, that there are faculty like, yeah, you don't need to be an accelerated program, because there are students who are really going to push the envelope a lot of the time. But they serve a real need for some. I love this quote from one of our last year's graduates. I had a great experience, met wonderful people, learned a lot, got a job, can't ask for much more than that.